Chapter 23. Hero.
You can be done with a story, but that doesn't mean the story is done with you.
Librarian Bjorn the Bard, 1401 CE. The walk back, through the dark, another soaking under the waterfall, and a miserable, soggy march through the woods and across the meadow, back to the longhouse, was completed in terse silence. Bjorn was able to hold his peace until the final click of the door to his study closing behind them, at which point he calmly walked over to his desk, picked up his clay tankard, and hurled it at the fireplace. It was mostly empty, so it only succeeded in making a terrible crash and scattering pottery shards over the front of the hearth. Bjorn was rightfully upset, and his accent got thicker and thicker with emotion until his words became simply a wall of heavily glottal fist shaking. He appeared not to be slowing down anytime soon. Hero found it easy enough to tune out the theatrics. His attention was on the fine furrow of thought lining Claire's forehead. Something in the dark had flustered her back there. The unwon wing had unnerved her in ways that Hero hadn't thought the unflappable woman could be disquieted. Hero couldn't suss it out. Granted, going in, he had expected more of the masculine nonsense along the lines that Valhalla excelled in. He'd expected epics and ballads and war drums, bloodthirsty victory. But instead, there'd been only the hollow echo of ends. Claire was dead. Death shouldn't bother her. But she'd been different since the unwritten ink had stained her hand and haunted her mind. Haunted. Yes. Hero was no writer, but that was the word for it. The unwritten stories had haunted Claire and left her not quite the same after the revelation that they were, indeed, souls. Claire had resisted that, though eventually Hero had learned to not take it personally. She'd said souls should be singular things, embedded in a body as is proper, then ascending or descending, in Claire's case, to their eternal reward. She'd said she'd always envisioned them as generally filling up the same space and shape as a human body, just ghost-like. Souls should not be splintered, many-faced things. Should not be sharded and scattered in many places at once. Souls should not be ghosts and songs and letters and stories. But they were. Considering that Hero was the one being redefined, he'd accepted it almost immediately. He'd never understood the fuss, souls and no souls. He'd always felt human enough, and if humans had souls, then why shouldn't he? But Claire had survived for 3 decades in hell by clinging to a very rigid and precise categorization of the world. Every time that categorization defied her, Hero, or betrayed her, Andress, she struggled to change with it. Sometimes he caught a look in her eye as if she were the one with the fragmented soul, and the shards were sharp enough to draw blood.
No right,
Bjorn was saying. His face was red, scrawny muscles clenched.
You had no right to come in here and do that.
It was my understanding that we were welcome in Valhalla, Claire started to say, but Bjorn moved fast for an old coot.
You lot had no right to stir up my wing.
He had a finger in Claire's face before Hero could stop him. It took considerable restraint to not remove said finger from Bjorn's purview, but Hero supposed it would be counterproductive. Claire could stand on her own. Your wing? Claire arched her brow. Bjorn, I understood you were in Valhalla, enjoying your rightful retirement.
Librarians have a hard time retiring.
Bjorn crossed his hairy arms with a pointed look.
You would know that as well as anyone, girl.
Don't call me girl. Claire met his eyes for a long, cold moment before turning and beginning to busy herself with heating some water. Bjorn hadn't offered them tea, which was equal to a declaration of war, to Claire. Hero made himself useful by poking around Bjorn's desk for tea leaves. We weren't here to stir anything up, as you put it. We simply wished to speak to the... Claire paused. What do you call them? Ghosts? Deaths?
Stories,
Bjorn said grumpily.
Same as yours. Ends are stories too. Perhaps the most important kind.
Claire sniffed, frowning into a battered pot before filling it from a pitcher of water and setting it over the fire. Not more of that soldierly rot about good ends and honorable deaths.
I didn't hear many good ends in there,
Hero added.
It's not the winning that makes an end good.
Bjorn had a pained look as he watched Claire take over his hearth, but he reserved the venom of his glare for Hero. Ah, yes, there was the tea. Hero fished a small packet of paper out of the back and shoved the drawer closed with his hip. Bjorn slouched into a chair by the fire.
An end that feels right. That's all a story wants.
No. Claire shook her head. You tell a story, you promise a reader something. A story should deliver on that.
Speaking as a...
Hero paused.
Speaking as a me, I think you're both full of rotten shit. Have we forgotten that we're talking about people's deaths here?
The water in the pot began to boil and captured Claire's attention. Bjorn grumbled as he reluctantly heaved to his feet to begin rifling his office for a clean pair of cups.
It ain't right. You can't just walk in here and...
I believe, Hero said as he moved out from behind Bjorn's desk, I have every right, from the denizens of one wing to another. There was a pronounced silence as Hero handed Claire the packet of tea. Her fingers lingered against his as she took it, and her mouth crooked up at one side. It was an apology for losing herself in the argument earlier, or perhaps a thanks for calling her out on it. That appeared to be Hero and Claire's language of love, reminding each other not to be monsters or villains. It was a wonder that Rami could put up with either of them. Claire busied herself with making tea, then obliquely inspecting the pile of scrolls left out on the end table. It was an odd reversal, having played Claire's backup often enough, but Hero was here as the librarian. The consultations of Valhalla's stories had shaken him, but this he could do. He returned his attention to Bjorn. The Norseman still had an expression to curdle milk, but he appeared to be picking up the shards of clay with a singular intensity. Buying time. Hero cleared his throat.
Well, I reckoned that I had a theory,
Bjorn said slowly. He rested on his haunches and weighed a large shard of cup in the palm of his hand.
It's not like a clay pot, a soul. You realize that, right?
Well, I'd hope not, Hero said, as if he had any clue what the old man meant.
A sliver of soul, a shard of soul, made of the same stuff, that's just awkward mortal words we clumsily try to slap on fancy immortal things we don't understand.
Bjorn slipped the jagged curve of clay between his fingers like a claw and held it up.
You ain't this.
Broken? Hero supplied mildly.
No!
Bjorn made a motion as if he intended to chuck the piece at him, but changed his mind. He scowled and shook his head as he finished sweeping up the crockery.
A part. A missing piece. Not whole. Reuniting with your kin, even joining with your author, ain't going to put it back together again.
Air hitched in Hiro's lungs. He'd met his author once. It felt like so long ago, the start of a very sad fairy tale. Isn't that how it went? Once upon a time, long ago and far away, a story had run away to find his author, the one person who could make him real and whole. Only she hadn't recognized him. She'd been attracted to him, of course. Many were, but even after he'd awkwardly bared his soul to her, his creator, his maker, she hadn't seen him. Not as he'd wanted to be seen. It had put him in an awful, vicious mood by the time Claire had hunted him down and gotten them off on the wrong foot entirely. And then, of course, his author, his maker, his other part of his soul, burned him out of his book.
No, I suppose it won't,
Hiro said quietly. Bjorn read his face and nodded.
Souls aren't fragments. She might have made you. You are made of the same stuff, but you're not her. Suppose it's more like a reflection. Or parents and children.
Oh, bugger to that, Claire swore reverently from the hearth. Daddy issues? Hiro sing-songed, though his voice felt like sandpaper. Yes, damn it, he would latch on to the first distraction that would allow him to flee from that memory. I wouldn't know. I've forgotten. I suppose because they're long dead. But, judging from the depth of my displeasure at the concept, I'd say so. Claire shrugged. But to the matter at hand, we've secured the support of the Unwon Wing, at least. The tension in Bjorn's shoulders reasserted itself. He turned away and chucked the broken cup in a basket that must have operated as a trash bin.
You had no right, he muttered again. The souls in your care have every right to choose.
Hiro was unsympathetic at whatever little bruised ego the Norseman was nursing. You can go with us, Claire said quietly, and obviously more sympathetic. We're not trying to steal anything out from under you, Bjorn. You can go with us, back to the unwritten. Abruptly, the bin basket slammed against the wall, showering bits of clay and discarded parchment at Bjorn's feet. His fists were white-knuckled at his sides. He didn't turn, but Hiro noted how his hunched shoulders heaved with deep, forced breaths. When he finally spoke, his voice was rough and deep as a rocky seabed.
What in all of bloody brutal Midgard makes you think I would want to go back?
Claire had risen with the pot of water in hand, but held very still. The only movement was the steam rising off the pot, curling and snaking around her like a halo. It was evident they'd stepped into unexpected territory by the caution in her voice. You don't?
You're an idiot to ask that question.
Bjorn twisted around. His eyes were rheumy and wet. He bunched his fists in his beard as if to give them something non-violent to do.
I spent over 6 centuries in that damned place. You've spent, what, 30 years? How sick are you of those same walls, girl? I learned every creak in every floorboard, every goddamn dusty corner.
The library doesn't get dusty, Hiro said. And it really was a testament to Bjorn's restraint that the wreck of a man didn't slug him. The glare Bjorn sent him was violence enough.
A mind ain't made for it.
Bjorn's voice was raised, shaking with a barely contained slurry of emotions Hero couldn't identify.
You die. Think you'll get some sky-blasted rest? And they plop you in a dark, windowless tomb of a place in a damnation you didn't even believe in.
Slow breathing had failed. Bjorn crossed his arms over his chest like a ward and tucked his chin.
You don't starve. You don't even need to piss. Them powers that be think of everything except one. You can sure as hell go mad.
You seem perfectly within your faculties to me, Claire objected.
Mad ain't a destination, girl. Sanity is a journey that just goes on.
Some of the anger drained out of Bjorn's wet eyes. He shook his head.
Maybe you're too early in your tenure to understand that. You fall in a dark, deep place. You claw yourself out, hand over bleeding hand. But that don't mean you won't fall again.
I understand a little of it. It was Claire's turn to look away. She set down the steaming pot of water, all thoughts of tea apparently forgotten. Hero could guess what thoughts crowded it out. Loneliness, temptation, and betrayal. And a handsome woman left behind in a faraway city. Claire's darkness had come early, and though she'd come so far, opened up so much, it never left. Standing in the light now just meant you cast long, deep shadows.
I didn't stay in the unwritten wing. I survived it. 600 bloody years. And not even a good battle scar to show for it.
Bjorn appeared to roughly draw himself together. His shoulders dropped, if only by force of will. He sniffed and lifted his head.
Forget how I died. That's my unwon battle right there. That place.
I'm sorry, Claire said softly. She glanced at Hero, and he knew what she was asking. He nodded. You don't have to come. I didn't want to do this without you, but I understand. We need the wing, but you...
Go where the story leads me,
Bjorn said ruefully.
I'm a storyteller, Claire. Same as you. Don't matter what fancy titles they give or take away. You think I could stand not knowing how this plays out?
Are all humans this suicidally curious? Or just you two?
Hero asked. Bjorn pivoted and jutted a finger in Hero's direction.
You! Don't think I've forgotten about you, you sapling. You are a librarian now. The cheek of you going over my head and talking to my charges. Talking to the stories. It ain't done. If Claire here ain't going to teach you right.
Brevity's his mentor, not me, Claire said.
Then I'm gonna hammer some wits into you myself.
Bjorn continued as if he hadn't heard her. He let out a long breath and glared at Hero another moment before turning back to his desk. He dug a ragged gunny sack out of a drawer and dropped it on the surface.
You'll come with us, then?
Hero guessed.
Seems like it.
Bjorn answered as he grimly began to sort through the chaos of his shelves.
If you lot are dead set on starting a fight, you're going to need at least one good Norseman on your side.
Hero opened his mouth to argue that, but Claire stepped up and knocked his shoulder with hers. She shook her head, then smiled softly as the old man made quick work of his preparations. Couldn't ask for better. Chapter 24. Brevity. Humans love to make things complicated, Look at belief. They build whole morality and judgment systems on it. Who believes what? Believes in the right way? Believes strongly enough? It's so unnecessary. Belief, when you get right down to it, is just a powerful story. Tell a story well, and the reader doesn't just want it to be true, they know it is. Get enough souls to believe in a story, and you can change the world. Or make one. Librarian Fleur Michel, 1763 CE. Brevity fell through solid stone. She didn't break, though. There was no crunch and snap of rock around her as she fell, simply a curious lack of wind. The stone didn't give way beneath her so much as it became less real. She fell through a phantasm of solid rock, strata of countless eons blurred in front of her eyes, so dizzying that Brevity could only distantly wonder what hell's geologic record could even be based on. Couldn't wonder about that, not now, because she had to focus on the terror of the fall. Easy to do, as it wasn't ending anytime soon. Brevity's arms swam through the knot stone, trying to find some purchase to slow her descent, but there was nothing there. She was falling through the nothing underside of a realm. At least the oubliette had been a place. She had made a horrible mistake. If anything, that thought increased her fall speed. It took a surprising moment to realize when the stone faded away entirely. A shot of wind, so cold it seared her skin, startled her to her senses. She fell through a cavernous space, but it felt solidly real. Brevity was suddenly not in the liminal underside of hell, but somewhere. Somewhere hidden deep in the foundations, and to her shock, she wasn't alone. Tiny black flecks roiled and frothed over the walls of the cavern in an infestation. It took another 2 minutes of falling to recognize those flecks were not insects, but demons. Ranks of figures seethed along the walls of the cavern. Brevity had always known, technically, that hell had armies. Malthus was a general, after all. But to see it was something different. All of hell's legions littered the staging ground of the giant space. Along one edge, coils of what Brevity first had mistaken for borders resolved into scales as things came into view. Wyrms, like the snake-like monster that Andrus had rampaged into the library with, writhed in frenzied nests. Dozens. Hundreds of them. Brevity let out a gasp. She was still falling, rushing through the air so impossibly high above the cavern floor that none of the demons should have heard her. But there was a single figure at a dais in the center of the space that jerked her head up. Malthus.
What are you doing out of your cage, little mouse?
The voice was sinuous and purring inside Brevity's head. Below, Malthus barked an order and a trio of winged lieutenants shoved off the ground. Brevity's heart leapt into her throat, but she was still falling toward the dark cavern floor below. Dark cavern floor. There was no time to think it through. The space was huge, but that made the shadows cast by the lights below long and deep. They jumped up to meet her as Brevity reached out and threw herself into a step through the shadows. Brevity skidded through the shadows and into the light. She had just enough time to register a whirl of wood shelves and bright colors before she collided with something large and meaty. Said large meaty thing said, "Oof!" At some point during the panic, Brevity had screwed her eyes shut, and now it took a concerted effort to open them. The world resolved into the whirling red eyes and hideous face of death itself, and she'd never been so relieved to see it.
Walter? It's...
She wanted to ask if it was really him, if the jumbled clutter around them. It appeared Walter had caught her a second before she would have careened into a shelf of glass jars, was really the transport office, if she was really safe. But she wasn't sure she wanted to hear the answer.
Miss Brev, what are you doing blinking all willy-nil? Oh, hey, shh there.
Walter juggled her around in his arms until he could set her on the edge of a stool that was near the office counter. As the counter was made for Walter, Brevity's head barely came level with the wood top.
There now. Easy does it. You're shaking like a wee pup.
Was she? Brevity looked down with blank confusion at the tremors shivering through her hands. She was still staring at them when a giant-sized jacket dropped around her shoulders, and Walter pressed a sloshing mug half-filled with hot liquid in her hands.
You look a fright, Miss Brevity, if you don't mind me saying.
The liquid in the mug wasn't dark enough to be tea. Brevity took a numb sip. Walter looked embarrassed.
I don't got anything proper like Miss Claire's tea. So I just heated some water quick. I heard hot things are comforting to mortals. Not that you're a mortal. I don't mean to... Oh.
To her own surprise, Brevity fell forward, mug and all, and began to sob. Walter caught her against his chest and patted her back awkwardly with a hand the size of a dinner plate.
I'm sorry. I always go and say the wrong thing.
Walter, you...
Brevity sniffed against the rough fabric of his cobbled-together suit jacket. The mug was trapped between them and sloshed a wet spot on Walter's delightfully ugly tie.
You are the only right thing that happened today.
There, there.
Walter eased her back to scrutinize her. Walter's face was not made for concern, and his bulbous features took on a constipated look.
What got you in such a state?
The question welled tears in Brevity's eyes again. But before she could speak, an army of footsteps thundered down the steps to the transport office. Walter flailed as much as Brevity did, and somehow she ended up clutched to his chest like a shield, as the gentle giant peered over her shoulder. The first thing that emerged from the gloom of the stairwell was the glint of a blade. It was joined by a gun barrel, and then a thorn bush of other weapons. The figures that crowded into the transport office's cramped space were bristling with weapons and fury. Walter was being invaded, and the force was incredibly hostile.
You will take us to Hell's Court, or else.
Brevity had been busy preparing to reach for a shadow again, but she stopped at the familiar ghostly lilt of that voice.
Rosia? Librarian.
Rosia's impish face rose over the sights of a positively monstrous blunderbuss gun. The other damsels were equally armed. Brevity hadn't even been aware that the damsel suite contained such an arsenal, but here they were, fitted for war. And there, at the back, lighting the curls of the tops of the damsel's heads with holy fire, was a very familiar sword.
Rami!
Brevity was too exhausted to be embarrassed that her face grew hot with tears again, to be embarrassed that Walter held her, or that she half-jumped, half-crawled her way out of his arms and across the counter and landed on the other side with a thud, all while making quite pathetic sobbing sounds. She had been scared and had to pretend to be brave for so long, and she had been so, so scared. She didn't care how she looked. She had made it home. Rami, to his credit, immediately had his sword sheathed and stepped forward. He barely managed to catch Brevity as she plowed between the damsels and caught her in a hug. This one wasn't awkward, not like hugging Walter. This one was large and all-encompassing and safe. And oh, how very good it was to have an angel as a hugging friend. Brevity buried her face in his feathers.
We couldn't find you,
Rocia was saying calmly. The damsels appeared to be less bloodthirsty now that they'd found Brevity. They'd stopped pointing their weapons at Walter. Death! They'd been willing to fight death! Brevity squelched a hysterical giggle, and they'd gathered around Brevity and Rami like a protective swarm.
We looked everywhere. We cannot lose our librarian. It is against the rules.
I knew hell had to be involved,
Rami explained softly. His voice was a rumble through his chest under Brevity's chin.
I was going to come alone, but the ladies would not hear of it.
She is our librarian,
Rocia said simply. Theirs. Brevity had people. People who would notice when she was gone, who would go looking for her, even to the point of challenging hell itself, to make sure she was okay. The tears choked her again, and Brevity covered her face with both hands.
Hey, you're safe. You went ahead and saved yourself, and you're safe now. Shh.
Rami was right there, pulling her arms gently down. He wrapped her up in a hug again, safe and undemanding.
We were coming for you. We'll always come for you. You're home now.
And Brevity believed him. Chapter 25. Claire.
I would have thought that death would rid us of this classist buggery that humans are obsessed with.
I thought wrong.
Librarian Fleur Michel, 1733 CE. Not being a condemned soul had its benefits. Freeing Bjorn to travel to hell appeared to be a simple matter of him throwing open the door to the hall, settling up his tab at the bar, which appeared to consist entirely of favors and gossip, and finally giving up his place in the drum circle. They sent him off with a new fur cloak and a small keg of something potent. Valhalla seemed earnestly sad to see Bjorn go, and Claire managed to feel only a mild stab of envy at that observation. A feathered riot greeted them as they exited the longhouse. The air was thick with ravens, wheeling and cursing in a frenzy. Claire clamped her hands over her ears and quickly located the focus of their ire. At the apex of the roof, one black bird, fatter and scruffier than the rest by far, roosted with a smug kind of calm.
Bird, Claire grumbled.
I confess I half expected your pet to abandon us here myself.
Hero's cheer diminished slightly when a questionable fluff of feathers and detritus caught on his hair. He had to duck to avoid the flight path of a particularly upset raven.
That,
Bjorn said, flapping his hands irritably. He had to raise his voice over the screeching.
That is your transportation?
Our transportation, Claire corrected. Bird had begun industriously ripping at the bone and gristle wind chimes the ravens preferred. A knuckle bone plinked at her feet and down the flight of steps.
Assuming Arlid's folk don't kill her first, what is the issue?
Bird managed to rain down a whole section of trophies. Claire ducked back under the arches to avoid a particularly large string of jawbones, but a blur of feathers and teeth intercepted it. There was a jarring crunch as something hit the stairs.
Traitors! Deviant!
A raven woman, indigo black hair feathered into a mohawk nearly as impressive as her eyeliner, rose from where she landed. She had the string of jawbones in one fist, which she shook like evidence at a trial.
Honorless scabs!
Hello to you as well, Arlid, Claire replied placidly.
You!
Arlid pointed her finger with an extraordinary amount of accusation. Arlid was prickly in the best of circumstances, but they appeared to have done something that genuinely aggrieved the Raven Guard.
I knew Valhalla should have fed you to the flock from the first.
Then you'll be pleased to hear that we are now leaving, and I doubt we'll have much cause to return to this realm again, Claire said evenly. Now, if you'll just return us our bird and let us be on our way.
You brought the traitor here?
That appeared to be all the spark Arlid needed to start up again.
Cowards! Milk drinker! Foul cheats!
Don't you mean foul?
Hero muttered under his breath. Claire was usually immune to Hero's remarks, but it took some effort to suppress that one. She pursed her lips rather than smile. She exchanged looks with Bjorn, who just shrugged. The old man appeared entirely content to let Arlid verbally abuse Claire to her heart's content. Claire sighed. I had wondered if Bird was one of yours.
No.
Arlid's cold eyes narrowed, and she clattered the jawbones against Claire's chest to emphasize the point.
That traitor is not one of ours. We exiled her, cast her out from the flock for her crimes.
Her voice rose to a screech again.
Honorless!
Even Arlid's human voice took on a cawing tenor when she was worked up. Claire winced and held up a hand. Bird appeared to take this as the signal to descend from her perch and land on Claire's shoulder with enough weight to make her stumble. It was, of course, the worst possible time for Claire to say, I have no place nor allegiance in flock politics, as you continually remind me.
If that were true,
Arlid said, cold eyes suddenly narrowing as she stepped back,
then you would have no problem handing over the traitor.
I thought you said Bird was an outcast.
Yes, and the price for returning from an exile unforgiven is unpleasant.
Arlid's smile was composed of sharp points and grudges.
Very unpleasant. Give her over to us, book people, and we will ferry you back to your realm.
If Bird was aware her future was being bartered, she didn't act like it. Her claws stabbed through Claire's thin shirt, and her beak idly plucked and yanked through her hair as if looking for crumbs. Hero tilted his head.
Tempting.
Claire couldn't deny it was. It wasn't as if Bird had ever shown any fondness for or fidelity to the rest of the library. Claire had merely inherited one loud, messy, ill-tempered raven along with the rest of the arcane wing. It shrieked and bit and clawed and only halfway minded Claire when she had a biscuit in her hand. The idea of being able to return to a crumbless desk, to leave papers out without fear of torn and pecked edges, had definite appeal. But then again, there was no returning to her desk. Her desk, her papers, any remaining place she'd had at all, had burned up with the rest of the arcane wing. Claire took responsibility for every artifact they'd lost, every way she'd let Malthus prove just how unsuitable Claire was for the job. All that remained of the arcane wing was Claire, Rami, and a dagger containing a demon. And one very unlikable raven.
Why hasn't she changed, like you do?
Claire gestured vaguely at Arlid's wicked human form.
Because she can't. Not without the flock's forgiveness, Arlid said. We do not forgive traitors, cowards, weak things. Will you hand her over?
I wish I could, Claire said ruefully. You haven't even started in on the number of names I call this creature.
Bird made a stab at her hair again, and Claire shrugged her off hard enough to unsettle the claws, digging into her collarbone as Bird fluttered into the air.
I have no doubt she's just as terrible as you say, and deserving of every unpleasant fate.
Arlid nodded.
Her crimes
are unimportant to me, Claire interrupted shortly. She raised her chin.
You say this dratted creature is an outcast. You say she's worthy of punishment and done the unthinkable. You say she's without home or honor. Is that correct?
Arlid could smell a trap when one was nearby. Her expression turned sour, even as she nodded slowly in agreement.
Then I say that sounds like just one thing. Mine.
It was nonsense. It was stupid. It was absolutely picking a fight for no goddamned reason. But all that just sent a vicious thrill up her spine as Claire smiled. All teeth. She clicked her tongue, and for once, Bird was biddable enough to sweep down and return to her shoulder. Her weight really was monstrous.
The library claims this horrible, oversized, and terrible goose as its own. Bird belongs to the Arcane Wing, what's left of it. We'll be taking her back with us, as is our right.
The ravens overhead had fallen strangely silent, and behind Arlid, two more women dropped into being with a quiet rush of feathers. Arlid didn't look at her backup, she looked at Claire, long and hard.
We came to your aid when you needed it, Ink Girl. You would throw that away for a beast?
No, Claire said. I have few allies in the world. I cherish the ones I have.
The point of Arlid's chin inched up, a pleased kind of justice, but Claire wasn't done.
But an alliance that is based on rage and hate will eventually fail. It took me losing what I loved twice to understand that. We do not trade lives. Not anymore.
I can't be your ally on this, Arlid. But I would like to still consider myself your friend.
Hero?
Claire was relieved to hear the quick ring of a blade sliding free from its scabbard behind her. She smiled.
We're leaving now.
It was difficult to turn on your heel with the weight of a very large bird digging into your shoulder, but Claire managed to not stumble. She picked a random direction away from the longhouse and started walking, trusting Hero and Bjorn to follow. It was a long, tense moment when all she could hear was the grass crunching beneath her feet and the disgruntled click of Bird's beak in her ear. She half expected a counterattack, a raven or a dagger in her back to take her down, but eventually only the sound of two sets of feet fell in behind her. The lighter step lingered until they were clear of the rise, then sped up. Hero pulled up next to her with his sword resting jauntily against his shoulder.
Well, that was bracing.
Don't start.
I had no idea you were such a sentimental animal lover, Claire.
I didn't.
Claire stopped in the middle of a denial and released a long sigh because she was never going to hear the end of it now. She shrugged Bird off her shoulder, and the raven gave only a mild cuss before launching itself in the air.
She is simply our ride home. I was being practical.
Yes. Practical.
The corner of Hero's mouth quirked up in that irritating and irresistible way he had.
Any humanity is merely a coincidence. Funny how that always works out for you.
Claire refused to deign to respond. She cleared her throat.
Home, bird, if you please.
You should have told me it was your first time traveling the Raven Roads, Claire chided as she guided Bjorn's head between his knees. I would have thought you had used them hundreds of times.
Not all of us go gadding about like a mayfly, Bjorn mumbled,
still wiping viscous bits from his beard. They'd arrived near the gargoyle, which Bjorn had promptly emptied the contents of his stomach onto. Claire still wasn't sure whether to blame the Raven Road or the gargoyle's disconcerting multidimensional nature. Bird had taken it as a personal offense and fled with a grackle of cussing. Hero, ever fastidious, made the quick excuse to go acquire a towel. It was a pleasant surprise when he actually bothered to return, bringing towels and brevity with him.
Bjorn! Oh, hey, wow! I didn't know we could do that.
Brevity took the towels from Hero and distributed one to the Viking and the gargoyle.
The persistent glories of the human experience never cease to amaze, Hero said with distaste.
The first trip is always the worst, Claire reminded him. You should know that.
A fair point.
Hero tilted his head.
What did you see on the road, old man? You don't strike me as the angsty, haunted type.
Hero,
Brevity whispered with a stricken look.
It's rude to ask.
Is it? I had no idea.
Get your...
Bjorn coughed into his hand, still half crouched.
Get your jollies in now, sure. See how funny it is when I...
Water?
Brevity produced a flask from one of her pockets. Bjorn looked at it dubiously before taking a swig. He smacked his lips with a grimace.
Water in a flask? This is hell.
I'm new here, and even I know that joke gets old,
Hero said.
So, what did you see?
Bjorn straightened with effort. He appeared to chew on his water a moment before deciding to answer.
Live on long enough after you die, and it isn't who you see. It's who you don't see.
True enough that. Claire made a shooing motion toward the library doors. The hallway, with the way the lacquered floor dropped off into sudden nothingness, was deeply disquieting.
Perhaps, Brevity? Let's get you settled.
Brevity's eyes lingered warily on the empty hallway. There was a wounded air about her, though it was not the time to ask. Something had happened while they had been away. Claire took careful inventory as they walked into the unwritten wing, but it seemed as it always was.
It's my job to welcome you. Right.
Brevity mumbled, appearing to shake off the lingering unease as they approached her desk. She always stood an inch straighter when reminded of her duties. It used to be a nervous habit, but her shoulders held a quiet line now. A steadiness. She was settling into her role as librarian. Claire examined the way that observation dropped into the surface of her thoughts, alert for any ugly ripples. Not too long ago, the comparison would have stung, drawn up a poisonous muddle of regret and resentment. But like poison, those feelings had already done their damage and burned themselves out in the aftermath. Instead, she was pleasantly surprised to find her first thought was, "Attagirl." A distant, not quite proprietary pride warmed her chest. Brevity was librarian. And she was a bloody good one. Claire couldn't take the credit for that, but hell if she wasn't going to be proud anyway.
If you need a bunk, there's a couch in the Gothic retellings section.
Brevity didn't notice the way Bjorn recoiled in horror.
They headed through the doors, with Claire and Hero following behind.
Echo seems happy in her pond, but you'll want to meet her eventually. And your wing?
They keep to their own. I doubt you'll even notice they're here.
Bjorn tilted his head.
Unless the lights go out, of course.
Brevity managed to keep her reaction buttoned behind a perky smile.
Double the lights, then. Got it.
They reached the librarian's desk, and Brevity pulled out the log to record the events of Bjorn and the Unwon Wing, with minor murmurs of correction from Bjorn himself. Claire stood to the side and allowed her eyes to drop politely. Her gaze wandered across the expanse of the desk. The inkwell had changed, from brass embellishments to silver. There was a book with a persimmon cover stacked on the corner that Claire didn't recognize, and she ached to crane her neck to take in the title.
I'll just go start some tea.
She turned without waiting for an answer and headed toward where she knew she'd find the tea cart near the door to the restorations room. It was a transparent excuse by now, but no one said anything to call her back. Acid burned in her throat. But it wasn't jealousy. It wasn't, to Claire's surprise, even regret. No. Claire forced her hands to steady on top of the already warm teapot. It was a sense of place, or the lack of it. Claire had relinquished her hold on the unwritten wing and begun to make a home amid the creepy and bizarre residents of the arcane. But now that, too, was gone. Her supposed place now existed as nothing more than a smear of ash on Hell's heel, and Claire wasn't certain what, exactly, was next. Claire had to dig to find her favorite Ceylon, but Brevity had been too thoughtful to throw it out. She measured out the spoonfuls meditatively. It wasn't that she wasn't a librarian, it was that she was still here. She didn't have the unwritten wing, she didn't have the arcane wing, but Hell still had its hold on her. She was here. There had to be a reason. But did there? Claire's hands flinched and she took a moment to steady them before picking up the kettle. A reason. A plan, a fate. Claire didn't know if she really believed in those anymore. She'd barely believed when she was alive, and in her contrary way, her tenure in Hell had only released her from her remaining illusions about it all. Yet here she was, fomenting a rebellion against the natural order itself. What use was an atheist in Hell, when you got right down to it? Either she was useless, or she was free. Claire breathed in the clay metal smell as the tea seeped and contemplated that. Useless or free? Claire felt as if she was neither. The tea turned both dark and clear.
Chapter 26. Hero.
The hero's journey is a real son of a bitch. On that much we can agree.
Librarian Gregor Henry, 1974 CE.
Oh, fuck Joseph Campbell.
Apprentice Librarian Brevity, 2013 CE.
Brevity, please refrain from swearing in the log. But yes, bugger the monomyth and all that tired nonsense.
Librarian Claire Hadley, 2013 CE. Claire staged her retreat to the tea cart, and Hero let her. He waited until she was at the far end of the giant lobby before turning and pinning his look on the others.
All right, what happened?
Something else went wrong?
Bjorn asked with weary resignation.
Brevity and Rami found spots on the floor in urgent need of examination. Gods, this library was full of terrible liars. Hero rubbed his temple a moment before snapping his fingers impatiently.
Rami scuffs his shoes like a schoolboy, and our dear librarian looks like someone kicked a puppy. Details, please. I'd rather stab whoever needs stabbing before Claire gets back.
No one is stabbing anyone. Already tried that,
Rami said with censure. Hero just smiled.
So there was a problem.
Malphus,
Brevity said in a mouse-small voice. She looked up with haunted eyes.
She caught me in a shadow step.
We got her out,
Rami said hurriedly.
Well, she got herself out, but the damsels and I found her with Walter and brought her home.
The damsels are a formidable lot,
Hero agreed, reaching over to squeeze Rami's arm. One part reassurance for the angel, one part reassurance for Hero himself, that Rami was still in one piece. It had been a harrowing tale when Brevity proceeded to tell it. They'd been lucky. One day their luck would surely run out. The thought settled like ice in Hero's stomach.
Don't tell Claire,
Brevity said, suddenly urgent. She leaned forward in her seat.
It was my own fault. She couldn't have stopped it. And it won't happen again.
We'll see about that.
Hero exchanged a glance with Rami. Hero was making a concerted effort at getting out of the business of secrets, out of the villain business. But old habits were hard to shed. He saw how Brevity's brow crinkled.
But you're not telling me everything either.
In the oubliette, I think I saw something,
Brevity said slowly. When Hero nodded, the story emerged in halted bursts from the two of them. Brevity's prison, Rami's rally, and a brief, vast glimpse of hell on the move. The ice in Hero's stomach spread to his heart.
Well,
he broke the ensuing silence with a sigh.
Nothing we didn't already know, I suppose.
Shoulda stayed in Valhalla,
Bjorn grumbled.
There were so many,
Brevity said in a small voice.
And Malphus won't wait forever,
Rami added. He had that old look on his face, the look Hero saw when he was remembering hundreds, even thousands of years in the past, remembering the memories of Ramiel, Thunder of God, not Rami, the shabby watcher of the library. His arms were folded and his gaze was somewhere far away.
How will it go?
Hero asked softly.
She'll gather her resources, maybe even other allies, and then proceed. First to weaken, try to drive us out of the place we're most secure, then she'll strike.
His silver eyes were dark when they shifted attention back to Hero.
Decisively.
Then,
Hero tapped his knuckles with one hand as he thought, rasping a thumb along the calluses. Calluses? Really, he would need to charm the damsels into sharing the alchemy of hand cream at this rate.
Then we shall just have to move faster. We have a plan, after all.
He stood, clapping his hands against his pant legs. They were at least dry now.
You only just got back,
Brevity said.
So no one will notice if I am gone again. Tell Claire I'm working hard. No, Rami, I can do this on my own.
Hero paused, looking between the doubtful faces before drawing a deep breath.
I have to. But stick to the plan, remember?
Hero grabbed his jacket off the back of the chair and slid around the cluster of chairs.
I'll be back with friends. It will be a party.
Hero's job didn't start and stop with just the Un-One Wing, not until the library was safe. He knew it as he walked through the doors of strange realms, whether under hospitality or under suspicious guard. He cursed it as he greeted the last remaining librarians, and each one looked away from his steady gaze. He greeted them not as a book to a reader, but as equals. The librarians had heard of him by now. The Broken Book, they called him. But the books themselves, the souls of the library, had a different name for him. The Reader. The soul that let the stories of a million lost works flow through him, to be a conduit with the wisdom to release his own and become something more. He greeted the librarians, but he was welcomed by the stories. He was embraced by them, recognized for what he was, free. And while the librarians fretted over requests and plans and risks and obligations, he made his true appeal to the souls of each wing. Because here's a secret only fractured souls know. We decide our stories. What happens to you is not the story. The plot is not the story. The conflict is not the story. The world is not the story. The story is you. You, the character, you, the reader, and the liminal watercolor of magic that happens between those two. Love a story, hate a story, tire of a story. All the possible magic a story has is contained between those two immovable, unknowable forces. Everything else, well, it matters, but this is another story. His steps slowed in the paths between those final wings. The libraries that joined him should unite in the unwritten wing, but souls have never been that biddable. They clung to him, limbed his hair with possibilities, dragged at the tilt of his shoulders. They stayed with him because he listened. He was the reader, and he was the story, and he was free. And stories walked with him. Stories walked the breadth of the afterlife. They circled the empty places left by gods, and all the realms trembled in their wake. The unwritten wing was quiet when he returned from his last, dear gods, let it be the last, trip. The souls of the unsung wing made a whistling sound as they swept past him to roost like invisible birds among the rafters. Brevity had already intercepted the highly irate librarian, and Hero all but stumbled to the nearest couch. He'd just closed his eyes when he heard a floorboard creak and recognized the weighty footstep behind it. He cracked open his eyes.
Here to punish me, Warden?
I'm not in the habit of punishing people for efficiency. Claire stood with her hands clasped in front of her, as if she wasn't quite sure what to do with them as she gazed at the overstuffed shelves. You've been efficient. The library hummed with stories. No, it vibrated with souls. The air tasted of anise and cardamom and possibility, ionized with all the wide, wondrous space of what-ifs in between. It was glorious and mildly terrifying, and if Hero had been less exhausted, he would have been smug. Instead, he settled for dragging his feet off the couch with no small amount of effort. He fluttered a hand.
Sit, Claire. I feel like I'm being scolded when you stand like that.
I'm sure you did something worth scolding. Claire took a seat nonetheless. She smoothed her trousers. All of them? She asked.
All of them.
Hero closed his eyes again.
Every damned last one.
Not. Claire stopped with pressed lips, as if dismissing whatever she had been about to say.
She let out a breath. It's never been done before. The library has never been under the same roof, sharing the same fate. Not in any histories I've found, at least. One wonders if there wasn't maybe a reason for that.
Second thoughts? Too late. I've already given you a rebellion for a present. I shan't go shopping again,
Hero said with a dismissive air. He slitted open his eyes to watch her. She was a shadow against the lamplight, shivering and not quite distinct. She was softer like this. He had thought he preferred Claire bold, but perhaps he simply preferred whatever parcel of Claire she let him have.
We can hold it, Warden, he said softly. We can hold the library and keep it. Poppaea may have never managed it, but we have. You've made me believe that.
Poppaea may not have gathered the library, but she alludes to having worked out the issue of a god and realm somehow. Claire shook her head. We haven't.
Just give me a nap and I'll take a crack at that shambling minotaur again. Last time he just caught me off guard.
No, Claire chuckled. That realm has never been good for any of us.
Then I'll find another. Valhalla, I'll duel the bloody Vikings one by one till they hand it over.
Hero's eyes had been drifting closed with each word, but they pulled open again at the soft, oddly charming giggle that escaped Claire. She covered her mouth as if it surprised her. You would, wouldn't you? She said, wonderingly. She hesitantly touched his hand. You really would. Hero held her gaze in the low light.
I would.
The moment hung, soft as a hush, there over the couch. The library might have been full to bursting with souls, but for one moment, this story, this, was world enough for him. Claire's mouth opened on a thought, then closed again. Her tongue flicked out and she looked away as she licked her lips nervously. Oh yes, Hero was lost. He'd always been lost with all these fools. I'm afraid. Claire's voice was low, as if she regretted breaking the silence. Afraid that I've brought all the library here just to destroy it entirely. We have no idea where to find a god, let alone a guide or a realm. Hero didn't want a god or a guide or even a realm. He wanted more. He wanted. He was written that way, and it was the one thing that hadn't changed. He was full of wants, wanted to shrug off the exhaustion of a dozen realms and leap off the couch, wanted to finally cradle her face between his hands, to look at her and kiss her until she believed. Or else, drag her off with Rami so he could show her that she was the only god, goddess? Oh, how Claire would hate to be called a goddess, the world needed, that they needed, he wanted. And because he was a villain, he could have so much and still want all he'd been told he couldn't have. Instead, Hero squeezed her hand just once.
We'll find one. If I know you, you'll dig up some dusty book of some forgotten god that gives his home address.
Hero shrugged.
Or a recipe to make one.
That was finally an absurdity that broke the call of despair off Claire's face. She snorted, which turned into a laugh, and Hero watched the way light played like a hymn across her skin.